sure we have had a lot of good fellowship, and it's good, sure good to be here. I've really enjoyed it, and I also want to thank you so much for the generosity. I wasn't expecting such a generous love offering, and I don't deserve it, and I'm just thankful for it. I want to thank you for that. Well, I don't have it with me. I told my wife how much it was, and she's already got it spent. So I can't apologize too much. Turn with me. We better get off that. Turn over in your Bibles tonight to Mark chapter 4, if you would. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to begin our reading here in verse 34. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the sheep. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I want to preach a message tonight entitled, Christ in the storm. As I read and meditated on this sacred passage of Scripture, I couldn't help but apply it to my life personally. Natural and spiritual storms are woven into the fabric of God's providence and the human condition. Since the fall of Adam, man has fallen prey to sin and is subject to the storm-tossed seas of a troubled existence. The Bible says in Isaiah 57:20-21, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. I remember so vividly how my life was overwhelmed with guilt and sin and degradation and depravity. And I was engulfed with ungodliness. Tossed like a ship without a sail. I was in darkness. I was without hope, without God, until Jesus Christ entered into my vessel and saved my soul and gave me life and spoke peace to me. And in a very real way, 37 years ago, He didn't speak it audibly, but in a still, small voice, He said, Peace be still. Thy sins be forgiven thee. The greatest day of my life was it when Christ stilled the troubled waters of my soul and changed my heart. And I can say from that day until now, my Lord has never forsaken me. Even when I'm fearful, even when I'm faithless, He's never denied me. I'm in His hand. I'm secure. And I rejoice in the truth of Jude 24, now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You see, the Lord is in my vessel at all times and through all the storms of life and all the trials and all the valleys. The Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. I praise God for the presence of Jesus Christ in the storms of life. Now, first of all, I'd like to address just an overview, the particulars of this story. The Lord Jesus and the disciples had had quite an eventful day. You'll notice it says there in verse 35, and the same day when the even was come. Now, when you compare that to what actually what the day consisted of, it's recorded in Matthew chapter 8. And you have some details of this day. And it amazed me as I was studying for the message what our Lord was able to accomplish in just one day. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, Jesus healed a man who was a leper by simply saying, by touching him and saying, "Be thou clean." Can you imagine the amazing power of God to be able to heal this man who was corrupt and depraved and sinful, and he probably had an odor about him because of the loathsome disease of leprosy. He had to go around crying, "Unclean, unclean." And Jesus Christ, by the power of His voice, said, "Be thou clean." And immediately, he was healed of his leprosy. And then, Jesus, the very same day, was approached by a centurion whose servant was sick. And Jesus merely said the word, and the centurion's servant was healed there in Matthew chapter 8. You know what? Jesus even healed Peter's mother-in-law. You know, Peter must have loved his mother-in-law to ask the Lord to touch her and heal her. You know, I've got a great mother-in-law. I thank God. My mother-in-law raised 7 kids. Her husband, until later on in life, wasn't saved. She took those kids to church. Oftentimes, they had to walk a long way. She raised my wife in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And you know, my mother-in-law writes me a letter at least once a month. And in that letter, she'll always put, "Only one life to live, and soon is past. Only what's done for Christ will last." Amen. And then she'll put a little heart, and she puts all the grandkids' names in there, and says, "I love you, and I pray that Jesus will save my great-grandchildren." I'll tell you, that's a wonderful mother-in-law. Thank God for godly women who love the truth. Well, you know, if Peter had a mother-in-law, what's that mean? He sure wasn't a pope. Peter was definitely married. And the Lord healed his mother-in-law. Now, that very same day, there were other people who had devils and who had a myriad and variety of sicknesses. And it says in Matthew 8 and verse 16 that they were brought to Jesus and He healed them all. All this in one day. And then after He got done with this healing ministry, He expounded to the disciples the parables, the truth of the parables. So we're talking about a full day here. And those disciples had spent the entire day seeing the Lord do miracles. They heard His teaching. They saw His power and His glory manifested, and their faith had to be fed and bolstered and encouraged. They saw the power of God firsthand. Wouldn't it have been amazing to walk with the Lord? To hear Him audibly expound on the truth of the parables, to see Him heal a leper, heal the centurion's son merely with a word. They witnessed His majesty. They experienced His power. And as the day came to a close, Jesus instructed the disciples to enter into a ship and pass over the Sea of Galilee. Now, I've never been over there. But it strikes me as funny. These guys were fishermen. They were experienced. And the last thing I would have wanted to do after a full day like that, when it's getting dark, is to get on a ship. I mean, they didn't have any electricity. They probably just had lanterns to see by or something. And to think about crossing the sea in the darkness of night, that's something that wouldn't appeal to me at all. But the Lord said, we're going to pass over to the other side. The disciples had no idea what was coming next. They were just following the Lord. They were just doing what He told them to do. Jesus, as God manifest in the flesh, He knew that a major storm was going to arise. He knew exactly what was about to happen in this scenario. And what a valuable lesson for us. You and I, we don't know what lies ahead. We don't know what storm may come tomorrow. But our Lord does. And as long as He abides in the vessel, we're safe no matter what storms or afflictions or trials we may face. If the Lord is with us, He guarantees that you're going to arrive safely on the other side. Now what's really amazing is that Christ had made such an impression on the multitudes that had seen some of the things that He did, that there were others who decided, there were other little ships who decided they were going to follow Him over as well. So He had made such an impact. It says there in verse 36, and there were also with Him other little ships. His life was influencing people outside of the sphere of His inner circle, His disciples. Now another thing that is brought out generally in this passage is that the humanity of Christ is displayed. I believe He's God manifest in the flesh. Amen. I believe that Jesus Christ was God and that He was man. And as a man who identified with those that He came to save, He was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And you know, our Lord was weary. Physically weary to the point that His body needed rest. He was bone tired after a full long day of ministry. Jesus knew that a storm was coming, but He had no fear. And He was able to go to sleep as the ship was tossed and the waters were coming on board. Well, the disciples, fearing for their lives, awakened the Lord and questioned whether or not He actually cared for them. Don't you care that we got on the ship? You told us to get on. Now don't you care? And then they saw something so miraculous. Jesus calmly rose. And He stilled the water, that storm, and that sea by simply saying, and I don't think He was nervous. I think He was fully composed and He just simply said, peace, be still. And all of a sudden it became a sea of glass. He then gently turned to the disciples and gently rebuked them for their momentary lapse of faith. And then it struck them. They had witnessed the majesty of the Messiah in this miraculous healing of the storm-tossed sea. Now, that's the overview. I want to talk a little bit now about the power of this storm that arose. The Sea of Galilee lies approximately 600 feet below sea level, near the northern end of the Jordan River. Mount Hermon rises 9,200 feet to the north, and strong northerly winds often plummet down the upper Jordan Valley with great force. When they meet the warmer air over the Galilee Basin, the intensity is increased. Hitting the cliffs on the eastern shore, the winds swirl and twist, causing the waters beneath them to churn violently. The fact that it came on quickly with little warning makes the storms all the more dangerous and frightening. Now the Greek, interestingly enough, now I'm not much of a Greek scholar. In fact, I'm no scholar at all. But I did look up this word. The Greek word for storm is seismos. And it literally means a great violent shaking. So here we are in the darkness of the night. The winds began to howl and blow, and the waters beneath them began to churn and shake with such great force that the ship itself began to shake, and the waters began to go up over the ship, and it became engulfed with water. And the guys on this ship were experienced fishermen. They no doubt had weathered storms before, but this one frightened them. This one scared them. They thought they were going to die at sea. They were afraid for their lives. Well, I'm going to tell you, fierce storms often arise in our lives unexpectedly. And they can come in a variety of situations and circumstances. And they can come on all of a sudden without warning. And we often forget, just like the disciples did, that God is the one that's in sovereign control of all the storms of life. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all.
Amen.
Now the perplexity of the disciples is shown in these verses. As they watched the waters engulfing their little ship and the fierce winds beating against them, they feared for their life. They thought they were going to die at sea. They were perplexed. They were panicking. Even to the point of questioning the Lord who cared for them. Now you think about this. They had spent an entire day of ministry with Him. They'd seen Him do things that no other person had ever been able to do. Heal a leper. Heal the centurion's servant. Heal diseases of all sorts. And yet their faith failed them. And they were questioning. They were saying, Lord, carest Thou not that we perish? You know, our frailties are often exposed in trials. Have you ever noticed that we're ready to forget 10,000 mercies in the presence of a single difficulty? No doubt the Lord had done so many wonderful things, but this one storm arises and they forgot about it all. As they thought about the fact that they may perish. Now, lest we get too self-righteous about the way we view the way they reacted, how many times have we been perplexed in a lot lesser storms? Things that weren't life-threatening, life or death. When a trial comes our way, how many times are we like little children who don't get their why? Why me? Why are you doing this to me, Lord? Now, you may not say it audibly, but you act it out in your heart, and you get sullen and melancholy, and you begin to complain, and you begin to murmur and grumble. See, how often have we questioned the love, the care, the compassion of our gracious Lord? How often have we thought we deserve better than this? How many times have we drifted into unbelief, doubting the Word of God and the powerful presence of Jesus Christ when trials come upon us? I wish I could say it as well as C.H. McIntosh said it, but I'm going to have to read something for you, and I thought this is so powerful, the way he put this. He says, "We are so easily terrified. Every breath of wind, every wave, every cloud agitates and depresses us. Instead of calmly lying down and reposing beside our Lord, we're full of terror and perplexity. Instead of using the storm as an occasion for trusting Him, we make it an occasion for doubting Him. There is nothing more absurd or irrational than unbelief when we come to look at it calmly. In the scene before us, this absurdity is very apparent. For what could be more absurd than to think that the vessel could possibly sink with the Son of God on board? And yet this was what they feared. It may be said that they did not just think of the Son of God at that moment. True, they thought of the storm, the waves, the filling vessel. And judging after the manner of men, it seemed a hopeless case. Thus it is the unbelieving heart ever reasons." Now listen to this. This is powerful. "It looks only at the circumstances and leaves God out. Faith, on the contrary, looks only at God and leaves the circumstances out." Now you know, the disciples should have remembered at least four things without being perplexed to the point of unbelief. Number one, at the very beginning of this journey, the Lord had already told them, "Let's go to the other side. It's a promise. We are going to make it to the other side." Before they ever set out on the voyage, they had the One who is the way, the truth, and the life speak to them and say, "We're going to the other side." You know, that's true in salvation as well. I can guarantee you, if you belong to Jesus, if you've been born of the Spirit, washed in the blood of the Lamb, you are going to make it to the other side because you have the presence of Jesus Christ in you. Yes. Secondly, the Lord was with them. What did they have to fear? Shouldn't it be that way with us? Shouldn't we be able to face every foe, every fear, every difficulty with this idea the Lord saying, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. They also should have seen that Jesus was at perfect peace. He wasn't troubled at all about the storm. In fact, He was sleeping. Psalm 4:8 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Now, here's another thing that I came to as I studied this passage. I believe this passage is a fulfillment of a prophetic truth in the book of Psalms. Let me take you back there. Keep your place there because we're going to spend some more time there. But go back to Psalm 107. I think this is a prophecy that deals specifically with this very situation and circumstance. Psalm 107, look at verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. Now notice this verse 25, for He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind. You know who's in control of storms? It's the Lord.
Amen.
It's not global warming. It's the Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
Which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works in the children of men. You see, if they would have been singing the Psalms and recognize the truth of Scripture, they would have known that they were being part of fulfilled prophecy in this very circumstance. In times of great trial, affliction, trouble, and distress, always remember that God cares. Don't question His compassion, because they fail not. God the Father cares. He loved you with an everlasting love. He chose you before the world began in the covenant of grace. He cares.
Amen.
God the Son cares. He was willing to leave the glories of heaven, to be born of a virgin, to live a perfect life, to go to the cross without any sin of His own and be made sin. When your sins were nailed to His body on that tree of cursing, when He died, when He bore our sins in His body on the tree, He was manifesting the great care that He had for His people and dying for them even when they were ungodly and without strength. Don't question the caring, compassionate nature of Jesus Christ. Don't question the care of the Spirit. Have you ever considered the condescension of God in the work of the Holy Spirit? God brings us to life in the new birth, and at that very moment the Spirit of God Himself begins to indwell, encourage, and empower us, sanctifying us with the Word of God and never leaving us, the Spirit of truth leading us into all truth. Don't question God's care for you, because He's proven it time and again. I would encourage you, when the storms of life come, think deeply upon the grace and the compassion of the Triune God in your life in order to dispel doubts and fears that you may have. Lastly, you like it when the preacher says that, don't you? You know, some preachers, they lie a lot. Now, I don't know if Brother Andy's this way, but have you ever been hearing a preacher and he'll say, "Now my last point is," and you can feel your digestive juices kind of, "Oh, we're going to get out. We're going to make it to supper on time. We're going to make it to dinner on time." And then he says, "It's my last point," and he proceeds to go about three or four more points. I got a nickname for those preachers. You know what I call them? I call them Pharaohs, because they won't let the people go. I'm going to let you go after the last point tonight. The last point is that the problem was solved by the presence and the power of the Lord. The disciples had come to an end of themselves. They didn't know what else to do. I'll give them credit for that. How many times do we come to the end of our rope and still think that we can trust to our own understanding to figure things out, rather than casting ourselves upon the mercy of God and seeking His face? You look at your life, the times that you've tried to do things on your own, you have made a mess of things. I know by experience whereof I speak. In spite of their momentary lapse of unbelief, in their desperation, they did call upon the Lord to save them and help them. And I've always been amazed at the peaceful composure of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever been woke up, startled from sleep? Maybe you were going to be late for work, or you were just startled awake and you, what's going on? That ain't the way the Lord was. Because He's in control of everything. I believe when here they were, they're just tore up. They're probably, "Hey, don't you care? We're about ready to die." He just got up. Looked at the situation. "Peace be still." Just three simple words. And the storm ceased immediately. Those waters became as a sea of glass. The power of the living Christ can calm the troubled sea and the most fearful heart. I don't know what valley you may be going through. I don't know what giant or Goliath you may be facing in your life. But I know this. If the Lord's with you, you can trust Him. With every situation, trust Him with your finances. Trust Him with your family, with your children, with your life, with your testimony. Believe that Jesus Christ will guide you and help you and strengthen you every step of the way. On this day, the disciples saw before their very eyes the humanity and the deity of Jesus Christ displayed. It was as if He was saying, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Just look what I can do. You need to trust me. And as the disciples witnessed the power and the presence of Christ calming the sea, they immediately became struck with the fear of God. It was as if they said, wow. Man, He made even the wind and the sea to be calm. He has control even over that. And it's like they said, wow, I didn't know He could do that. They should have known Him better. Yes, and so should we. You realize you got a whole lot more than they did? We've got God's entire revelation in one book, consisting of 66 books revealing the power, the majesty, the glory, the instruction of our God. All of the promises. We have them all right here. They should have known Him better. You and I ought to know Him better when trials come. Isaac Watts wrote, we sing the mighty power of God, who bade the mountains rise, who spread the flowing seas abroad, and built the lofty skies. We sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at His command, and all the stars obey. Lord, how Thy wonders are displayed where'er we turn our eyes, whene'er we view the ground we tread or gaze upon the skies. There's not a plant nor flower below but makes Thy glories known, and clouds arise and tempests blow by order of Thy throne. On Thee each moment we depend. If Thou withdraw, we die. Oh, may we ne'er that God offend who is forever nigh. Now, if I could apply Christ in the storm. Life is filled with storms. Count it not strange, brethren, when trials come upon you. But also remember, God is in control of the storms. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are the called according to His purpose. Every storm, every trial, every affliction you will ever face, it's already passed God's reviewing stand. It's been approved by His sovereign will for His glory and your good. As long as we have Christ in our vessel, we know that He will carry us safely to the other side. We need not fear. And then sometimes the most troubled times bring the most amazing victories. And so it was in the life of these disciples, because they did reach the other side. And this truth, this story has been preserved for our learning, written down so that we may profit from it. May God help us to trust the Lord in the storms of life. Brother, you come.
Job says that our lives are a few days and full of trouble. And so a message like this is always in season, as long as we're here in this life. And it's a blessing in hearing this message and the passages of Scripture that were brought out, that I can and you can, every child of God here, can confidently and calmly face any storm, because we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us.
Amen.
He's right beside us, the Prince of Peace, the one who controls the whirlwind and the waves. He's with us and cares for us, and will see us, as the brother said, to the other side, where we'll forever be with the Lord. Let's take that home. We don't know what we're going to face. We might have some storms. It might be of our health. It may be of a more oppressive government. It may be any number of things. It may be the attack of the enemy. But the Lord is with us, and He's promised to take us to the other side.
Amen.
And work all things together for our good. Well, thank you for coming, and we invite you to come tomorrow. Of course, it's the Lord's Day. It's a special day. And I'd like to ask Brother Marty if you could lead us in a word of prayer.
Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we come over and worship you tonight.
Yes.
Thank you for these words that Brother Austin brought to us. Thank you for his study. Thank you for his seeking your words to present to us, Lord. We just ask that so many times we criticize disciples or people in the Bible, and we fall upon the same trouble. We just ask that we be more faithful. Help us to be more trusting in you.
Yes.
Help us to know that you're in control. Lord, just give us safe trip home tonight. Help us to have a good night's rest. Help us to have peace. And just help us to be able to come back to your house tomorrow morning and worship you.
Yes.
That's what we need in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.